Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And man, we are right in the beginning of really what's one of my favorite series that we get to do at LifePoint now playing. And this last week, we've been kind of exploring how our various campuses really looked at and taught on the movie Inside Out 2. What a fun movie. Our kids love it. We love the first one. And the second one, of course, was, I feel like, just as good, which is often can be rare when it comes to movies. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that really, you know, stood out to me from this film is just how Riley, the main character in the movie, was consumed by anxiety and worry. And really, as I looked at that and thought about what was kind of the root issues that were really driving her into this place of letting anxiety take control over her life, to me, it really kind of came back to her sense of self, really, in essence, what her identity was in, and how that so often showed up in kind of the I am statements that showed up in what she would talk about. I am a good person. I am a good friend. I'm not good enough. I am a winner. Just so many of these I ams really connected to her beliefs, believing about who she is, which then influenced really the things that she thought and the emotions she had, and then really what she did with those kinds of actions. And so, man, don't we resonate that with that? I know I do, and I'm sure you do as well. And really what began to happen throughout this film was really began to see that anytime any singular emotion takes control over our lives, it really brings an imbalance. And I think one of the things that began to become apparent throughout the film, and especially at the end, was that we're complex creatures, that God made us complex, and that part of as we begin to live this world, that we need one another. We need all the emotions to really help to navigate those things. And really our sense of self, the thing that stood out to me that maybe is contrary to what the film talked about, was rather than trying to get our sense of self coming from the beliefs about who we are, coming from ourselves, that we determine I am, like who I am, but rather God made us to be able to get our identity from who he says we are, right? Isn't that the good news that we have as followers of Jesus, that who we are isn't decided and determined by who we say we are, but who we are can be determined by what God says about us. And I ran across this quote just as I was preparing for my message and really to talk about this film. David Paulson, a great Christian counselor, said, "If what you most value can be taken away or destroyed, then you set yourself up for anxiety." And really, he's getting to this idea of if the thing that we value as humans can be taken away from us or can be destroyed here on earth, if we lose that thing, then we are setting ourselves up for anxiety. And that played out so true in the film. And so one of the things that I talked about this past Sunday was who you are shapes how you live. This idea that who we are, what our identity is, impacts and determines and shapes how you and I live our lives, that who we think we are impacts how we think we should live. Who we are really impacts how we live. And so I just thought I looked at these kind of central truths about who we are as followers of Jesus. And Ephesians 1 lays out some incredible realities to that, where Paul, in writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, is really laying out who we are as Christians, like what our identity is, what God has done for us, which then the last half of the book really begins to show out, well, in light of that, how do we live in light of who we are? And so he begins, and really what I talked about Sunday was these three core identity statements that we find in the opening verses of Ephesians 1, is that one is I am blessed. This idea that we bless God because he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That as we look at our lives, that one of the things that we can look at and be reminded of is that we are blessed. You are blessed. I am blessed. If you are in Christ, that we know that we are blessed. And really, what does that mean to be blessed? It just means that we receive God's favor in our lives, that God's favor is pointed towards you and I. And so often in life, right, we try to earn favor from others, whether it's our boss or our spouse or you know, from something that we're wanting to say, how can I get into this person's good graces, right? How can I experience favor from them? My wife will talk about, she likes it. She can go to the school because she may know secretaries and various people there, and that if she just rings the doorbell, you know, the little buzzer to get in, they know who she is. And they're kind of like, oh, they're not questioning her. Like, why are you here? Who are you? What are you doing? You know, they're like, oh, I know you, come on in, you know? And so she's like, I got favor with secretaries, you know? And we look at how can we have favor in our lives? And we would think about as well, how do I get God's favor in my life? Well, the good news for you and I is that we don't have to try to live for God's blessing, that you don't have to live your life to try to earn God's favor in your life, but we get to live from God's blessing, that God has given us everything we need in Christ, and that he blesses his children, which then moves into this incredible reality that I talked about, was that we are chosen, that I am chosen by God. And we could get into all the deep theological conversations about that. But really what we see from this essence, from these verses, the essence of what Paul is trying to communicate to us and to followers of Jesus is that God chose you. God wants you a part of his family. He chose you to adopt you. He chose you to make you holy, to make you blameless, to adopt him as sons and daughters into his family. And it says that this is to the praise of his glorious grace, that God chooses you and I by grace. He didn't look at you and say, man, you are going to be fantastic for my kingdom. You're going to add so much diversity, or man, you've got these gifts. You're going to do these incredible, like none of that. It's like God walked into an orphanage, and rather than looking for the strongest or smartest or prettiest and said, I want them, he just looked in and started grabbing kids and saying, I want you. I choose you. I choose to adopt you. And that's what adoption, I think that's what makes adoption so beautiful, is you look at people that are in need of being rescued. And rather than saying, okay, if you meet these certain qualifications, we'll allow you into our family, you look at them and you see their need and you say, I love you and I want to bring you into my family. And that's what God does, that he chose you and I before the foundation of the world, that we are chosen. So often in that film, Riley's wanting to make the team. She's trying to impress the coach. She's trying to get in with this group of friends. She just wants to be chosen. But there's no greater thing that you and I can be chosen for than to be chosen to be a part of God's spiritual family, that he adopts us, that he makes us holy, set apart, blameless, which leads to really the last thing that I talked about, was that we are redeemed. That I can look at and say, I am redeemed, that in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, that ultimately Jesus saves us. He forgives us. That idea of redeem is just this idea that there was a payment that was paid to set someone free. They were in bondage. They needed to be set free. They were being held, and they could not be freed from that penalty unless it was paid. And that's what Jesus did for us. He paid with his blood, with his life, to forgive us of our sin. And that sets us free. Is that you and I, we are forgiven and free because of Jesus, because he paid the price with his life. And so we get to live free, which I think is ultimately what Riley is wanting to experience in that movie, is to be free, and to be free to enjoy hockey, to be with her friends, to be, you know, having the incredible life that she's had. And she's trying to find that and live that out. And it doesn't come from, you know, handling our emotions or leaning into who we are, but really our freedom comes from Jesus, that he sets us free from our sin, from the approval of others, from trying to live for God's approval and blessing, but we get to live from it. And so that's what my hope is that you and I, we can live with a sense of freedom in our lives. And one of the moving parts in the end of the film was in the midst of the anxiety attack that Riley's having. Anxiety's got, well, she's holding on to the control boards in her head. And Joy is sitting there saying to her, you've got to let go. And it's when she lets go is when ultimately peace begins to take shape, that both Joy has to let go of trying to control her. And that's where it's found with you and I, is that for us to experience the peace that we so want in life, it's not by holding on and trying to control everything, but it's by letting go and trusting God. And the good news is God is so trustworthy, and we can trust him with everything. So I just want to pray. Let me pray for you and pray for me, that we would experience God's peace in our lives, that we can enjoy that blessing, and so that we would live in light of those incredible realities. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You love us, that you get to tell us who we are, that we don't have to go to the world or to our friends or to our family or to other things, God, to be able to get a sense of who we are, that we can look right to your word. We can look right to the cross. We can look right to the empty tomb. We can look right to Jesus. And he tells us exactly who we are, that we are blessed in Christ, that we are chosen by God, and that we are redeemed by his blood. And may that change how we live today and forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment? Why don't you pray?